Welcome back. Welcome back to Greenbox Gaming. Plays Delta Green. You're joining us on a stream in which I get no respect whatsoever. In which the sanctity, all the hard work that's put into this is completely ignored by one of us.
He loves the button.
I just don't know what to do at this point. You know, like, Brad. I'm joined by my friend Brad and by the other one.
Dock his wages.
You'll be getting a strongly worded letter in the mail any day.
We don't
now,
mention
Sean.
Names, do we?
Of course not.
To be clear, to
welcome
everybody.
Welcome back.
Just grumpy because I made a crack noise before we started.
Look, I have a process,
and very
John.
Funny. Okay, everybody was struggling not to laugh, Joe, including yourself.
Thank you
very much.
Yeah, it was.
We were the only ones that could hear it, Joe Logan.
Right. Everyone loved it, Brad.
Okay.
Welcome back, everyone, to Greenbox Gaming. We're going to be do something a little different. We're going to be taking just a quick kind of step out of Remember to Forget, which I think we're kind of right at the end of, but we want to finish that one up, and it has been an incredible ride. But unfortunately, Dace couldn't be with us today. I don't want to go around telling Dace's business necessarily, but I'm just going to say, like, when the slot comes open and they give you the call and they say, hey, we're ready to do your penis reduction, like, we have an opening, like you gotta jump on that. So he's recovering nicely, and from what I understand, he'll be able to live like a normal person now, which will be a big change for him. This is something that's been coming a long time, and it's going to really, really open a lot of opportunities for him. And I think I'm just glad that he's getting the help he needs. You know,
one thought I had is he said he had to do stuff at the metal museum. But I just pictured him, like, he just gave that answer. I just picture him being like encased in carbonite, like. I'm Solo.
we're doing this big thing at the Metal Museum. Like, as he's... It turns out that's all they do there. They're just, like, pouring molten steel over people.
Just make a cast of each other.
Just, like, standing there, like, tapping their fingers on their mouths, like, I wonder why it didn't work. Just... I'm not a doctor. Yeah, but welcome. Welcome. We're going to be doing something a little different. Before we actually jump into it, I do want to talk about what we're running today. So tonight's operation, this is called Operation Unearthed, right? This is by someone named A.D. West of Secret Squirrel Publishing. They reached out to me and said, hey, got an operation, little short kind of one-shotty thing. I'd like you to take a look at it and see if you like it. And I do. I like it a lot.
That's really cool.
Yeah, and so this is a handmade operation by A.D. West. We're gonna get the links and everything. If I understand correctly, this is something you can get for free. He's got a Google Doc, you know, that is gonna be open for everyone if you are interested in running this. For your own crew. So, but yeah, reached out, and I was like, I just really love the opportunity to play, like, really interesting stuff. Jean, on my screen, the duck from the duck noise is now stuck in the middle of your face.
I didn't see that.
You're just going to have to deal with it.
On my side.
You're just going to have to deal. Must I? I can do another one, try to get it, push it out the way.
There's, yeah. I'm not kidding. There's like there's like some error, and on the video you just have a duck in the middle
of your
screen. What about
me?
You're fine. Stop with the duck noises. I don't know what to make of that.
Is that going
to
be on the stream? Is that just me with a duck in the middle?
I think that's just you now.
Cool. I'm fine with it.
He's gonna, this is all a hallucination, Joe, and he's gonna slowly morph into like a duck person by the end of the session. This is real life Delta Green.
It turns out that the coffee I had this morning sat out too long and got just a little off, and now I'm deteriorating. Oh, and now they're starting to quack in the chat too. Excellent.
Oh.
I don't like it. I don't like it when you guys band together. All right, but guys, so again, thoughts and prayers to Dace as he heals. He's going to be putting a lot of ice in a lot of very uncomfortable places. Mm-hmm. In the end, he'll be able to do normal things like go for a jog. You know,
yeah,
and you know,
he can use the urinal again.
Yeah, he can actually. Normally, he has to use the kids' one that's really low to the ground.
Apparently, doing a duck at the beginning of the session made us very unfocused. We've now gone back and forth between duck noises, Dace's penis reduction.
Oh, the duck is
introducing
gone.
The actual topic, and now everything else.
Now I'm back. So we're going to kind of jump in. So first and foremost, I will let everyone know. So Jean's been really snippy throughout this whole setup.
What?
Because he's like... Joe, are you sure you sent everything? I feel like I need more information. And I keep saying, John, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it, John. He's just an anxious boy.
Look,
and he really likes to know his character in and out before diving into a session.
Right.
And you've deprived him of that.
Nothing. I just sent my work colleagues this week. Have you guys seen Pepe Silvia, the meme from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, where he's got like the murder board up and he's talking about Pepe Silvia.
Yeah.
And I said, there is no Carol! That's been me this entire week. So this Friday, like when you're like, cool, we're doing this and you're getting no information, that obviously also...
That is not true. You got like a solid paragraph.
And a snippet of handwritten text. Like that's fine. Mm-hmm. It's fine.
Yep.
You know, it's fine. But thank you for pointing this out.
Yes, and so you're welcome for what you did get. So I think we can all agree that you got everything you needed.
And
so,
I'm snippy.
Let's and you're being very disruptive right now.
I'm just having fun. Just rock and roll.
Yeah, so let's I'm thinking this is probably gonna run maybe as far as episodes go, like the podcast episodes. I'm thinking probably 2 to 4. I think it's kind of built as a one shot, but depending on how off in the weeds you guys get, because I know what you're like, then you know things might be a little more long. But we'll see. So let's go ahead and just jump right in. You guys ready?
Yeah. Let's do it.
All right. So real quick, let me pull up my notes over here. Excellent. I will read you a snippet of. I'll read you something here. Oh, never mind. Okay, so you guys, your two characters. We'll get kind of into the character introductions as we go a little bit in the middle of the action. So, you guys' characters, your agents, awaken. As any good story where you've been given very little information ahead of time goes, your characters awaken. I would say that as you wake up, you know, if the cinematic version of this, we see, like, the eyes, like, from the, you know, from the aspect of, like, you know, of, like, eyes, like, blinking open and being fuzzy from the floor. Right, and it appears that each of you is laying on a sleeping bag on a floor that is like a kind of dark brown, kind of low pile carpet. One of the first things to hit you outside of realizing that you're laying on the ground is a smell. It's not a good smell. It's a smell of sweat and human waste. Not like overpowering, but definitely in the zone. The second sensation that hits you is this stinging in your left arm, in the crook of your left arm, as each of you sits up and sees that you have an IV that is set up, hung on like a coat hanger on an object nearby, maybe on the side of the bed frame, if there's a bed there, or on the side of the table. And you have an IV, and the blood is beginning to run back up into the IV tube, which indicates that it's basically done. The infusion you were getting is complete. There's an empty bag at the top of it. And Jesus. You are both groggy as you're trying to kind of take in what's around you. Brad, if you could tell us real quick kind of who we're looking at here and then what you are kind of seeing immediately.
Should I just read this excerpt real quick? Like,
you don't have to, you don't have to straight up read it. You can give me your kind of Cliff Notes version if you'd like.
Is it okay if I just read it?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. With an athletic but aging early 40s build, you are a broad-shouldered Latina man of average height wearing a heavily sweat-stained white button-up shirt with sleeves rolled up and dirty jeans. On your right forearm is a stick-and-poke tattoo that looks to be many years old, with the number 6 to 15 above the word deadly, barely legible. On your belt hangs the holster of a medium-sized pistol, but the weapon does not appear to be in your person. You have a wedding band on your left ring finger and a pair of dirty athletic shoes. Your left pant leg is rolled up, revealing writing on your leg that says housekeeping to making entry soon. So, it's, you know, I'm waking up, see this IV. I mean, I guess the first thing I do is like, look to see, I guess have memory of having a weapon on me, see that that's gone from my holster.
Yeah. You definitely feel like there's an instinct in you to reach down and find that weapon, that mm-hmm. even as you're like, oh my, like, oh, there's a holster on my hip. Like, there, it's like yeah. hardwired into you to find yourself and you... And to find your weapon and make the area around you secure. Like, you have that hardwired.
I kind of... Oh! Shit, I thought that was my coffee. I thought I spilled my coffee.
I thought that you were role-playing.
You're just doing straight-up method acting.
Okay.
No, I have, like, a thing of dice, and I thought that was my coffee. I thought I just spilled my coffee on myself. Probably even before I pulled the IV out, I look around me, and who else do I see? Anyone else around me?
Yeah. So you see a few people. You see that there are two people laying on similar sleeping bags. One of them you can only see his feet. You look around you, and you look to be in like a really kind of grungy old school hotel or like motel room. You know, there's like a. I will say that there's a small TV on a table, and it looks to have been there was like a what looks like. A hammer has been thrown through the glass. Like, it's, like, sticking out of the glass. The whole room is a mess. And immediately, you think there might be blood on the walls. And there's, like, a double-paned window to the outside. And on the curtain and on the inside broken pane of glass is brown. Like, a brown-red stain. Like I said, there's one person laying on the other side of the bed. You can just see their legs. There is what appears to be a woman right next to you. She also has an IV. And then there is a man up on the bed who you just see he's laying on his back on top of the blankets. But you do see a woman off to your side. Jean, what is Brad's agency?
So there will be this tall and lanky woman in her early 50s. And she's got multicolored cloth pants and a blood-stained man's undershirt. She's pretty much lying down, kind of groaning softly. She moves her neck, some of the necklaces around it with spiritual runes and jingling trinkets kind of jiggle around and make a bit of a noise. She kind of groans and she just checks herself and also realizes the IV in her arm. You'll kind of see that she's got a series of tattoos with indecipherable symbols on her neck and around her wrists. and you'll notice something strange about one of her ears. One earring has an Egyptian ankh, and the other earlobe looks like it had an earring torn from it. As she kind of groans and sits upright from this position, she kind of just pats herself down, says, "Oh God." Checks her pockets, and there's just lint and a really, really intimidating large knife named Jessie, and a note on it that reads, she uncrumples it.
As Joe looks, he didn't write that part.
little flavor from John there.
As she uncrumples the note. The note reads, she kind of groggily, "Who is Marvin?"
Yeah. Jean, your character, you look around, you see this man is like kind of groaning and sitting up here by you. You too see the disarray of this room. Again, this kind of assault on the senses of like it smells like people, several people have been living here and maybe not getting the best hygiene. You even look down at yourself and you're like, your shirt, like this is a man's shirt. It's like an undershirt, but it's blood stained. It doesn't really match the rest of what you have. You look down at your wrist and you see tattoos around the circumference of both your wrist that are also, you know, these runes, these mystical, spiritual, you know, symbols. And then similar in the way that the other agent in the room had reached for his weapon, you reach up to that earring. And you, and again, and you cannot, ow, as you reach up and feel the earring, and you feel that.
So that's right, new. That's not supposed to be there.
Yeah, that one of your, it's like an earring has been torn out of the earlobe.
Okay. Oh, okay.
But the other one, the ankh, and the ankh, for those of you who don't, like, the ankh is like the Egyptian cross. You know, it's like the cross that has the loop at the top. Yeah. There's almost like a calm that comes over you when you just touch the ankh and you know that it's there, right? And this too, similar in the way that the other agent's looking for a weapon, you're like, there's this moment of like, I still have you. I still have what I need right here. What are you guys doing?
Yes, my agent, I'm gonna role play this as like he's been on several missions and is maybe like thinking yeah. something kind of Delta Greenish is happening, and he pulls the IV out of his arm. He says, "Agent, do you know what the mission was? Why are we here?"
Yeah.
Does she remember anything? Does she recognize him?
You guys are both insanely groggy. So much so that you have a real significant issue really remembering where you are. Maybe even there's an element of that's hard to remember even who you are in this moment.
Yeah, do I remember what my name is?
You cannot at this time.
Jesus.
Which is not super.
No.
Which is not super. It's not a good situation. Like there's that jolt of like, oh shit, I don't know where or who I am.
So she'll probably turn and be like, agent? I don't know. I don't know where are we? Who the hell are you?
Yeah. Well, that does resonate with you. Like there's this, like he says that and you hear kind of in your head, you're like, hey, oh. And then you guys kind of, you say under your breath, you know, you say, Delta Green. And Brad, your character as well, you're like, oh, like, yeah, yes, like we're Delta Green. And that's when you guys notice the piece of paper that is sitting on the small desk. It's like halfway hanging off the table. You both see it and instantly remember reading this on the way here. You're not sure where here is, but you've seen this piece of paper. It's your mission briefing.
Hmm.
And you remember being given this. Would one of you guys please tell us a little bit about that?
I can go. Operation Brimstone. Heaven's Home Motel, Mojave Desert, approximately equidistant from Las Vegas and Poti Reservation. I think I'm saying that right. The property was auctioned by the Bureau of Land Management to one Michael Wharton in 1989. Initial records of the land are sparse and no records of its construction exist. The objective.
Objective.
Go ahead. No, I was going to give you a break.
Objective. Investigate the unusual circumstances surrounding Heaven's Home Motel and its owner, Michael Wharton. Collect information regarding Wharton's recent erratic behavior, potential occult activity, and possible connection to esoteric forces.
And then in the background, we've got Michael Wharton, aged 52, purchased the land for the motel under mundane circumstances. His wife, Elizabeth, has since fled to Reno and contacted authorities after he became violent and gave a sample of his journal to the police. A Delta Green friendly within the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department intercepted the case after reviewing Wharton's journal entries and identifying key references to an entity redacted.
Entity K redacted.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of sloppily redacted.
Yeah. Situation on the ground.
Or watch your mouth.
Totally unknown who the redactor is. Situation on the ground. The motel's purported to be small, hosting only 3 guest rooms, a reception area, and an office. Elizabeth Wharton has fled, and Michael's presumed to have remained at the property. His behavior may be unstable and likely influenced by the L redacted. Or I redacted.
Or D. It might be D. The start of a D.
Maybe a capital D. Maybe it's an, I think
comment.
It's an L.
What entity starts with a D?
It's an L. It's an L. I'm sure it's an L. If you zoom in real
it's
big.
Okay. Yeah.
You close the Twitch chat. Don't you
agent action required. Secure the motel. Assess the nature of any unnatural influence on Michael Wharton and the surrounding area. Recover Wharton's journal and any additional occult documentation. Report findings back to your handler via dead drop. Critical mental health precautions. Give redacted known ability to induce severe psychological disturbances, including hallucinations, disorientation, and mental manipulation. It is imperative that Dr. Noah Breckenridge, Delta Green friendly and licensed MD, accompany the team. Dr. Breckenridge will monitor the agent's mental health throughout the operation. Notes: be prepared for psychological and existential threats. I guess we all look at the note and remember that.
Yeah, like I said, there's an element of you remember this. You remember reading this, and as you guys are sitting here, like it's starting to flood back, you know. And I will say, like, the thing is like the reason you guys don't have character sheets is because you don't remember who the fuck you are. Okay. So when you want to roll things, you need to tell me, like, do I feel like I'm good at this?
Gotcha.
Do I feel like I know how to do this? And we're going to, and I'm going to roll for you over on roll 20. Okay. Or well, you're going to just roll the D100 and I'm going to look at your sheet and tell you how things are going until you start to remember a little more.
Awesome.
Right. Both of you go ahead and roll me a D100 as you're trying to figure out why the fuck you can't remember anything and what's going on.
I got a 60.
I got an 8.
Okay, so let me take a look here. A 60 and an 8. Yeah, so the 8 is definitely going to do good. The 60, that's actually going to be good enough too. So you both are sitting here, and immediately, Brad, your character, you find yourself, you're like, immediately you look down at the little trickle of blood running from your left arm, the crook of your left arm where the IV was, and you're like, oh, we've taken something. This doctor has given us something, the doctor that's mentioned here. And you vaguely remember Dr. Breckenridge. John, your character too, you remember this Dr. Breckenridge that you're like, oh, we heard the name, and you look over to the man laying on the bed.
Jesus.
Okay. Maybe this was a precaution. Something we're going to encounter.
Yeah. I will tell you right now, as you guys both turn your head to the guy on the bed. Oh, he is very still. Very, very still. And a little bit pale.
My character will jump up. Jump up and try and, like, get to his side.
Yeah. This man, too, he has an IV in his arm, as does the one on the floor. You jump up to the guy on the bed, and the second you touch him, complete room temperature. Complete room temperature. Ice cold. Human body.
Can I check his pulse?
He is hardcore dead. Yes,
he's very dead.
You can. You can give it a go. He is there. I mean, it is. When I say, like, this is, like, he's been dead for a minute. And you have no idea how long you've been laying here.
Okay, I think she'll move to the one on the floor. Be like, are you okay?
Did you try dead? Mouth to mouth?
No, that's ridiculous. He's been dead for a while.
You go and you go to the other man. This man, he's a good bit younger. This guy is probably like in his like 30s. Kind of wild hair with like a pair of like bent glasses next to him. He is breathing. But he is completely out, and no matter how much you shake him, he just does not come to.
He must be drugged.
Yeah, you, and he too has this bag, you know, laying there. And, you know, Brad, your character, as you walk up, you see that the man who is laying there on the bed, who you very much feel like this is Breckenridge. Like, you're like, you have this vague memory. You're looking at him, and you see that in his left hand is something wadded up.
Agent, this is Breckenridge. I just know it. He pulls. I'll pull the IV out of my arm at this point.
Oh yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And look at what's this crumpled piece of paper in his hand.
Yeah, go ahead and reference roll 20 there, or not roll 20, Miro.
Okay, pull this piece of paper out, and it's looks to be drugs with various doses after it. Allen Co. 43M.
Sorry, that's Alonso.
Alonso. Oh, these are the people. This is me. Alonso must be me. Do I recognize that name?
If you read Alonso and you're like, and it does ring with you. You know, and Alonso. You appear to be about 43, you know.
Alonso, and then it says 100, 211 pounds, maybe, 100 mm-hmm. kilograms, 45 milligrams. Dorner, 52 female, 142 pounds. And then it has 64 kilograms, 288 milligrams.
Yeah. So
I'll hand this to her.
Well, it's like Alonso, as you are reading this, and you feel like, yes, I am Alonso. You feel immediately. You look at this, and Dorner, you look at this, and you don't really understand what this is necessarily. But except for the names, make sense. Alonso, though, you look at this, you know exactly what this is. This is weight to dosage conversions.
Yeah.
But you don't know for what.
This is, I'll say, donor? Dorner? Does that ring a bell with her?
Yes, absolutely, 100%.
That's me. That's me.
This must have been in his notes for whatever he put in our bodies. At the bottom it says, looks like he dosed himself. This person down here must be a Melton. It says at the bottom, I am so sorry.
Yeah, Alonso, as you look at that, you know, the dose is by your name, 450 milligrams. By Dorner, 288. By Melton, you know, 387. By Breckenridge, 5,000 milligrams.
Why would he definitely do this overdosed. Himself? But on purpose?
He was supposed to help us. Why the hell did he do mm-hmm. this?
Okay, whatever's he gave us, he was trying to give us equal amounts per our body weight. So why is Melton, I'm assuming this is Melton on the floor, why is he so out of it? I'll try like tapping Melton on the face again or something.
Yeah, and I'll also check if there are any details on the IV bags. Investigate them.
There's nothing on the IV bags, you know, but you see several syringes, like someone has taken a dose out of another container and stuck it in the IV bag. And if you begin to look around, there's like a small bedside table, and as you pull it out, the rattle of what first you think might be like alcohol bottles or something, but you realize it is dozens and dozens of ampules, of glass ampules, like those glass flasks, of some type of medication. And you pick the first one up, and it says loud and proud right across the front, ketamine.
Oh, Jesus.
Why would he do this? This mission was already prone to hallucination by something, and he injects us with ketamine? Could this be some kind of antidote to whatever's going on here?
Let's just deal with Melkin. Is it Melkin?
Melton.
Melton. Okay.
Alonzo will pocket one of these vials.
Yeah. Just in case. And there are probably some syringes and stuff laying around with some needles. But yeah, it's, you know, you've pulled the IV out of your arms now. You go to Melton and you begin to...
just immediately roll something. IV out.
Yeah, you can pull the IV out. You want to try to roll something.
You're going to try to stick him.
I want
to
get him up.
You're going to remove his IV. Yeah, removing his IV is no problem. You don't have to be an expert to pull an IV out. You know, it's like just whoop, it's out. You know, it just bleeds a little bit, but it's so small, right? If either of you wants to roll me 100 and try to just tell me what you're trying to do, and I will try to hook you up with what it is that your skills.
I want to basically roll first aid, I suppose.
Okay, roll like a first aid.
If I can get him conscious. 84.
Yeah, you don't know. Like you're kind of like you're kind of slapping at him and stuff like that. I mean, he's in a drug induced haze. 1,000,000%. He is, and you don't know if he's going to be coming out anytime soon.
I think Dorner wants to look around, try and see if there's any trace of her earring.
Okay, yeah, so give me a Romeo dice as you start to kind of look around.
It's a 32.
You begin to look around, and really quickly, you actually find it. You think to yourself, and you actually search the pockets of who you assume to be Melton on the ground. And sure enough, in the left pocket is a similar, like, Egyptian ankh or ankh. That has like a little bit of blood on it, in the pocket.
Who is? Where'd you find that? Who's?
That's in his pocket.
Was that in?
He must have ripped that thing off my ear.
It was in Melton's or Breckenridge.
Melton.
In Melton's pocket.
Melton's.
She's gonna start like slapping him on his chest. You, get the fuck up, get up,
get the fuck up. You got nothing, man. And like, in this guy, like, say again, you guys are like a little older, with Alonzo being in his 40s, you know, Dorner, you're in your 50s. This guy's probably like in his 30s, and he is out. Like, maybe you get just the littlest of moans from him, just but he's gonna be useless certainly for a while. You don't know, it's unclear why he has not woken up if you guys are given similar doses. You don't know.
Dorner, I see two options. It's either Michael Wharton's about somewhere around, I'm in this hotel and did this to us, or Breckenridge succumbed to whatever hallucinations is about.
Jesus.
More so, I notice you have tattoos on your arms. Are they? Because hers look kind of more like, could be design, more design, whereas mine is like, obviously.
Yeah, yours says 6-15. on it, and then underneath it, it's just like, it's real. When I say like a stick and poke tattoo, this is like a homemade tattoo, but it's right. obviously old. It's pretty old. And as you look down to it, roll me a, give me a sanity check as you look down at this tattoo, and you start to really kind of 25. Take it in. You are swimming. Your head is swimming with memories of dense jungles, of digging a fire base on the edge of the Laotian border in Vietnam. You remember being a young man being drafted. You remember the hell of the Vietnam War. As you look down, it's 615, 615, your unit. And you remember manning the guns, firing just absolute steel rain down on the Viet Cong wherever they came close to your base.
I shake my head. I'm like, yeah. I think I did this to myself, El Dorner. Are those tattoos fresh on your arm? As I point to her wrists.
I don't think so. She double checks them. I figured that was a part of her entire aesthetic, so.
Roll a D100. Tell me what you get, please.
18.
Oh, you know what these are. These are protective runes. You don't know if they actually work, but they make you feel better, that's for damn sure. Same with the jingling things, a piece of a quarter with a hole through it on your belt, you know, along with other pieces of little trinkets, maybe in little totems. You know that they're, and instantly as you find yourself about to explain, well, there are many different cultures and they, you know, their interactions with the spirit world, you know, you're about to give this guy a lecture on, you know, how different cultures, different religions all over the world have all stumbled upon magic, hypergeometry. You're about to give him a lecture when you realize this is coming in your mouth. You're like, shit. Like, you realize what you know in your head. And you realize, you remember why you're here. You're here because you know this.
We've got work to do. I think I've just realized what we're supposed to do. And I think this is not run-of-the-mill. I don't think we've been drugged in a normal way, if that makes any sense.
You don't think it was ketamine that was shot in our veins?
It could be ketamine, but I don't think this is somebody messing with us. I think we're in danger. I think we're in danger.
Orton, he must be about this place.
You look around the room and... This is the part where you are like, you see that like written over the door to this. You see that there's two doors. One looks to be a bathroom. One looks to be like the exit to this motel room. You see written in your, it's something dark. It's not blood, but it's like a dark stain where something's been written on. You see written on the wall, you see written, should we burn it down? And underneath that, in a different set of handwriting, no, we tried that. And then under again, in a third set, when? Question mark. Now, Mel or Dorner, you, the first set of handwriting is you. 100%.
Okay. Matches the lint in the pocket. The lint note.
And the third set of handwriting... Alonso, that's you. The middle one, you don't know.
Have we done this?
It doesn't match the. It doesn't match the handwritten note of the dosage.
No, it doesn't.
That's us. That's us. Have we just been? Did we forget? Do we forget?
Calm down. First things first. Let's get out of this room.
Hold on.
Who knows how long we've been in here?
What the hell's on your arm? What does that mean? To making entry soon. Is that?
That's on my calf.
Oh, yeah,
and I look down.
On your leg, yeah. Oh.
And I look down at my calf. I'm like, oh, can I roll something? Is this from Vietnam?
It's been there. It's written in Sharpie. Sharpie all the way from Vietnam.
There's a Sharpie on my leg for the listeners that says housekeeping to making entry soon. ! Can I roll what would I roll? What am I trying to derive from this? How long was this written? I want to roll.
It's fairly fresh. It's okay. Fairly fresh. Roll me a D100 real quick.
42.
All right. You're looking down at this and you're like, two housekeeping. You're like, is our housekeeper supposed to come? About that time, right as you're looking down, and there's a moment where you look up, where, you know, we're looking at, you're like sitting on the edge of the bed. Dorner is kind of standing there over you, her arms crossed. Alonso, you're sitting on the edge of the bed looking down at this, at your calf, at where this is written. You know, like memento style.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You're like, you're looking down, and there's this bit, like we're looking over your shoulder from behind, and we see a shadow pass over, like pass underneath the door. And right then, the door burst open as a boot kicks in the door and just it slams on the back wall, and there in front of you coming bringing his foot down is a man in a hazmat suit. Behind him another person in a hazmat suit. The one in front has a pistol with a long silencer hanging off the front of it.
Okay, maybe Alonso has some kind of training. He has a weapon holster, so I'm assuming he has like some kind of instinctual.
Oh yeah,
you know what to do in this situation. I mean,
I'm going
to
tell
this
you
textbook like training situation. He's been in this,
right? Well, it's like, and if this happens, the second this happens, so my question to you is: are you going to do something specific? Or are you going to let the training take hold?
I'm going to let the training take hold, but I think Alonso would instinctively try to protect Dorner. So, like,
okay.
Maybe, like, assess, you know, try to get the gun out of his hand. If, at the very least, get it pointed somewhere else that's not at Dorner.
Where's Dorner?
Excellent. Dorner, you're standing there kind of to the side. You're not, like, directly in the way between them. You are standing there.
Close?
You have... decently close to them, I'd say.
Yeah. The things that are going through her mind right now is gauging how far away she is, and she kind of pats down on her pocket for the knife, getting ready to spring.
I've pictured Dorner to be more in the open, so like that would be the first thing they see when they barge in, whereas Alonzo's sitting on the
edge of the bed.
And maybe like all this is like clicking as soon as he sees that the shadows under the door.
Absolutely. So you swing into action. So roll me a D100 as you are going to swing into action along for Alonso.
29.
Gotta look at something real quick. These guys, immediately as you make contact with this other person, there is an element of recognition, and you have this flash. You jump up and attempt to get your hands on the weapon. You have this flash of deja vu.
Ennui.
You've done this before. You have done this. You have had this fight before. And you don't, and you see the man behind you, or you see the man's eyes through the goggles of this hazmat suit. They are calm and narrow, like someone, like, and you immediately feel like you have so much training, you have a lot of training and unarmed. Like you feel the training take over. What is it? Jiu-jitsu? Is it Krav Maga? Like you don't know what it is, but like you feel it boil to the top, and you feel like the calmness on this person's eyes are probably what startles you the most. It's just how locked in this opponent is.
Lanza's feeling all this, like everything you just said, but tries to push that down for later analyzation. And like you said, basically turns into a snake from Metal Gear Solid.
UBC. The pistol, you get up, you get your hand over the end of the silencer and pull it out and slap it out of his hands. It flies over toward Dorner. And Dorner, the weapon lands at your feet as Alonso successfully disarms the first combatant. Nice. Dorner, what are you doing?
How far away is the guy behind?
Like, right behind. Like, they're at this point in time, they're, like, stuck in the doorway. The first guy's in the doorway, and the second guy's behind him.
She's gonna kick the knife into the corner where there's nobody and start charging, reaching for the knife to just get in close and...
Oh, kick the gun. You're gonna
kick the gun away so that it's out of play, and run towards the second guy, springing into action.
Okay, with your knife. Okay, so I'm gonna say you can just kick the gun to the side. That's just one real quick. Boop. Gun's like under the coffee table now. Like it's like over here. You can get. I'm gonna say to the set. You're probably not gonna be able to get to the second guy. You can probably get to the first guy. Just again because there's like a melee going on here. Are you going to attempt to harm this person, Dorner?
How could you? She's going to stab the closest assailant.
You stab.
They're obviously friendlies.
All right, roll
they're just here to help us.
They're just trying to help out, guys.
That's a 52.
That is a 52. Oh, that is actually very interesting. Okay. All right, fair. That is a 52. You stab. If this person was not currently fighting with Alonso, you don't know if it would work. But you do stab.
Oh,
you do stab him.
Just
and
scream,
stab
Jesse! Him. And like stabs for the gun. Like a crazed animal.
All right. So go ahead and roll a d6. Go ahead and roll d6. Let's do some damage.
It's a 4.
All right, you get a really good stab into this person, and you hear just from underneath the respirator, "God damn it!" You know, as you like stab him like in his side. The other guy, he is going to attempt to pin you, Alonso. He is going to roll his so. Let's see, he rolls. Where are his stits? Yes, here we go. Stits. He fails, actually. If you roll and see do your unarmed real quick, roll D100. Just see. Let's see if you get a crit.
Otherwise, nothing. 51.
Changes. Okay, he tries to like get a hold of you to like, and you know you succeed. He fails. He's not able to get his hands on you. The guy behind him, he is going to attempt to kind of fire into this melee, which is going to be a little difficult.
Oh.
So this is the guy that got stabbed that tried to...
Who tried to grab you. The second guy, he is also going to... He's going to fire into... Oh, he's pretty good at this, isn't he? Yeah. He's going to get a good hit on you guys as he fires this again like a silenced pistol. Just do, you know, as he's firing in at you guys. Now, this is going to be how much damage is he going to do? Ooh, it's pretty good damage.
Who's he aiming for?
He's probably aiming why don't we roll a dice? Why don't we let the dice tell us who he aims for? He's aiming for Alonso.
Does he get to dodge, or is he used his turn there?
Oh, yeah, you can dodge, I'm going to say. If you dodge, you're not going to be able to do something this next go.
Right.
It will consume your action.
Lonzo's not going to dodge.
All right. That is a choice. It is a choice. I will give you that.
With
you
a pencil in his choice. Mouth.
Okay. I think I'll... Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you... I don't know if that's the right damage for this. It is, yeah. Ooh, this could go really bad really quick. Mm. Oh, goddamn.
Ow.
Alonzo's thought was, like, to block the gun from Dorner. Like, at least one of us can get out of this, maybe.
Oh, man. Alonzo, that is... That is 8 damage.
Oh, shit.
That's bad.
You are not down, but you are... Boy, howdy, are you fucking hurting. Like, you have taken a gunshot.
So this is an actual bullet. This is like a pistol.
Bam. You have taken a gunshot, like, to your, like, lower chest. Like, ooh. You know. This is bad.
Okay,
this is
Alonzo. Really bad. So is it back up to Alonzo?
Yes.
He knows it's Tom.
Taking such damage? Isn't he stunned or something?
Oh, is he stunned? There is something for that, but go ahead and tell me what you do.
Alonzo knows his. He's like thinking maybe this is it. Maybe Dorner can get out. He's gonna do unarmed and try to kick the door to catch the hand with the gun, like, you know, slam it on his hand if possible.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I like it. I like it a lot. Okay.
And if not, slam the door on his hand, at least try to close him out of the room type thing.
Okay. Yeah, give me another unarmed war. Give me a 100, a D100, and then
Come on. I will tell you how well you do.
53. Okay, let's see what happens. The guy in front tries to stop you. He tries to stop you as you are attempting to kind of, like, push him, like, kind of move him around. And then that throughout this, that I'm going to say that you are able to move him directly out of the way, and you are able to get the door slammed shut. Now, I'm going to make a second roll. Yeah. Let's see how well the other guy does. The other guy manages to get his arm out of the door before it, like, closes, but you have now, like, kind of closed the door. Now your back is to the door, like, your back is on the door, and you're kind of grappling with this guy standing, the guy whose weapon is on the floor, right. But the gunman is now outside. Dorner, what are you doing?
She's get the still... gun, Dorner.
Ah, she's in a rage. I take it she's still close combat with this guy that's not trapped in the room with us, so I think she's gonna try and, like, while Alonzo is grappling the guy, to try and, like, stab critically in the neck, and also try and, like, push the momentum out of the way of the door, worried that this guy's gonna fire through the door.
Okay. Oh, I... Should I have... Actually, now that I think about it... No, you should be... not... Dorner is not, but Alonzo is wearing a bulletproof vest. He's wearing, like, a Kevlar, like, underneath his shirt. You know, he would be wearing that.
3.
Yeah, so that's a reduction of 3 damage on that.
That was on your
that's
5.
not me. That's just, like, that's just me saying it's, like, you would definitely have that. So, all right, so give me probably another melee weapons roll. It's probably what you're going
to
do.
You're going to try to stab him some more?
Roll D100 if you're going to try to stab him again.
An 80
doesn't work. He's mixed up in this fight here, you know, and you're just, like, not able to get a good place on him again. Like, you know, he's kind of now slammed Alonzo on the door,
back of the door.
Yeah, and then he is going to make his attack. He is going to actually reach out, and he is going to attempt to take the knife from you. He's going to, like, try to reach out and, like, see if he can, like, grab your forearm or something as you're doing this.
This guy's a machine. Fuck.
He is a machine. Roll your unarmed roll an unarmed here. Let's see what you do. Give me a D100.
It's a 25.
You succeed. He tries to reach out and grit it. He rolled a 4. You rolled a 25. You had a higher success. You were able. He tries to get the weapon from you. He does not succeed. So, I'm going to roll a D100 for a luck. Actually, Brad, roll me a luck roll. Roll me a D100.
Hey. Oh. 10. Wait. Wait, what's a 100? It's a 100. It's I think I rolled a 100.
Like a straight up 100?
Yes. No, sorry. How do you do 100 on these?
What's on your dice?
A 10 and a 0.
That's just a 10.
Okay. Yes.
A 100 right. Would be zeros time. Across the
zero,
board.
Double zero. Yeah.
All right.
10.
That's going to be... Okay, so...
Lucky,
bad,
right?
Bad luck for somebody.
For somebody.
What? Okay, I'm gonna give. Okay, bullet holes appear in the door.
Oh.
But like you are like you're wrestling this guy, and as you go, just before the bullet holes come by, there's a switching of positions as you slam his back down, and he is shot about 3 times in the back.
Excellent.
Jeez.
Because you got a good roll, and that was, I rolled a D10, I rolled the damage, I rolled 9 damage.
Oh.
Now there's some damage reduction. There's some damage reduction, but he is now, he is not doing well. Actually, now that I think about it, he's really not doing well. Back to you,
Is he still
Alonso.
Alonso?
Is he still conscious?
He's still conscious. You know, as he takes bullets through the back from this thing.
Alonzo will say again, "Donor, the gun!" And then I'm going to try to basically, I want to incapacitate this dude and have him like pinned up against the wall, so it's like, I mean the door, so it's a little bit harder for this guy to come in.
Yep.
Like maybe unarmed. Take out, try to unarm, yep. Take out his, yep. Legs, like kick his kneecap backwards or something.
You could probably do something like that, like try to get an advantageous, you know, positioning on here. So roll D100.
17.
I want to make it very clear. You guys aren't necessarily good at this. You're just getting very good. Like, I don't think you're good.
Oh, I thought I was just good at it. I thought I was like...
You are specifically good at this, but you guys are also getting quite lucky.
Yeah,
because he just rolled 63. You are able to pin him in a way, like you're able to get hands around his neck. You've got his arm in some type of like weird like standing kind of hold. And, like, your left arm, like, up against his neck, you know, and he's bleeding and choking.
Yeah, the point is I want to incapacitate this dude, but also keep the guy from coming in. So he's got 2 bodies behind this door if he tries to push in.
Okay,
and he's got this guy in front of the door in case he shoots again or, you know, kind of blocking him.
You now have him between you and the door.
That's a lot of Kevlar reduction.
It's going to be extremely
like
4 hard.
Three layers of Kevlar.
You have a lot of damage reduction between you and this door right now. Let's put it that way.
Could even take the Humbaba.
Hand to hand the Humbaba.
That's what you guys have been missing from the Humbaba this entire time. Is, you know, a little bit of a, you know, actual the nuance of putting someone up against you. All right, so he is going to attempt to. I think the first thing he's going to do is he's going to attempt to escape. It's gonna be hard. I'm sorry, Dorner. Dorner needs to go.
No. I think she'll wake up, see that this situation is in hand. Like, God damn it! And she'll try and run to go get the gun. Run back, get the gun. Get behind the bed, probably, or find some cover to cover the door.
You can run over there and grab it. Yeah, you can grab the gun and then, like, dive behind the bed to kind of get, like, a position of cover.
prepare
all in one turn. I'd say that's fine. You find yourself not being terribly confident with this weapon, but you have it nonetheless.
I feel like Alonzo's like can see the, like hold him pin up and see that she has the gun and she's kind of like propped up best she can.
Right.
And he'll like kind of give her a knowing nod and like act like he's about to like move away from the door to give her a free shot.
Let's give. But
I know these guys have to go first. Yeah.
Yeah. He tries to escape. He is not able to. He's like still struggling. You are able to hold him because he gets a failure. Roll me a D100 to see if you crit. Let's see if you really, really put him in his place. If you crit with his fail, because he rolled a 58, if you crit on top of his fail, we're going to say that you can do something kind of different. So just give me a D100.
Not a crit, 52.
Okay. That's a success for you, but it's still like you're just... So the other guy, we are going to hear from the other side. We're going to hear, like, you think you hear the other guy yell, "Bob, get to cover!" And you feel the feeling of he's trying to kick in the door again. Keep in mind, the doorknob is destroyed.
Right, because he already kicked it in once.
Right. He is, oh man. Is that even going to, I don't even think that's going to even be fucking good enough.
Just bounces off the door backwards.
Well, he's like kicking the door. Yeah, that's not enough. Because he rolled a 71. Yeah, that's not enough. He kicks, and even with that, like just with the weight of this guy, who is, you know, you can see the blood starting to, you know, come out of his nose and stuff like that. Now, he's hurt really bad. And you are too, by the way.
Yeah.
Let's not minimize. You were also really fucked up.
I'm shot, but maybe right. I was.
Right.
Thought I had nothing, but I remembered I had my Kevlar vest. Right. So
but he's like, he's kicking against the door. Boom, boom, boom. Doesn't do anything. Back up at the top with you, Alonzo.
Alonzo's going to fall back and just like leave it to Donor for this other guy and just go full, like, wrap his legs around his legs, headlock, try to put this guy to sleep with all his power.
Okay. Like, you just like, we're going to the ground.
Yeah,
like,
basically. Okay.
All right, give me your unarmed for what you're going to do. Yeah, give me your 24. Unarmed.
24. I'm rolling like fire, man.
Another failure.
That's a failure? A 24?
No. A failure for him. For him. So you're going to attempt to... You're like going to try to like put him out.
Yeah, basically, right? You know, the hold where you have the legs wrapped around their legs and then...
Like a rear naked choke.
Yep. Basically, yeah.
I'm going to say it's like, so there is no specific thing for like putting someone to sleep. You have him in a pin. You have continued to hold a good pin. If you continue to hold it one more time, he's going to be unconscious. Unless you want to try to do him straight up damage right now. You also have the opportunity to do him straight up damage. You're in an extremely advantageous position.
Well, I mean, if that's what my training says, I'm not trying to like keep him alive for any kind of reason. I want him dead if that's the most advantageous thing. Like, if I, you think it'd be easier for me to just grab Jesse's knife.
I'm gonna give you a peek behind the curtain on your character sheet. You have an 80 in unarmed.
Oh, wow.
Okay. You're extremely proficient and unarmed.
Incredibly dangerous.
And you, so in this moment, like when you're trying to figure out what you should be doing here, I'm gonna say that you are fairly certain that it's almost 50-50 if you were to try to damage him now that you could fucking put his lights out.
That's what I'm going to try to do then.
Okay. Now, if you do that, he's not going to go unconscious next turn. That's the thing. So you have to choose. Like, do we want him to go unconscious next turn by maintaining this, or do you want to put his, or do you want to punch him till his lights go out?
But I'd have to roll to maintain this.
You would have to roll to maintain
it. Okay, I'm going to try to punch his lights out.
All right. D100?
Oh, and wait. You had to say what I have. That was a 96. I failed that one.
Let me take a look here real quick. Just to make sure, because you are... I don't think you get a bonus to your roll on someone who's pinned. I don't think that's the way that's worked.
Can I push it, Joe? Let me push it.
Wait a second. This says... All unarmed melee attacks against a pinned target are at plus 20.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't fail.
An agent pinning a target can attack in later rounds. So you succeed because he's already pinned.
Nice.
You're in this advantageous position. Roll me a d4.
Okay. 4.
Ooh.
Oh my fucking god.
Taken down.
You bring him down, you like get your arms around his back, he like you flop on your back, you fall down your back, bam! The weight of two men whacking the floor, you know, as the wind comes out of you, and you are just you have one arm around the neck and the other is just punching his temple. And just bam, 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 limp. As the fourth punch comes in and he just like you feel the consciousness leave his body. Like he's done. Dorner. Things seem to be going pretty good on the ground over there. What are you gonna do?
So I feel like she's prepped and primed. She sees this. She doesn't say anything, she's just focused on the door. And
would you so here's my question for you. What one things you can do is you can basically like aim and prep.
So that's what I was thinking I was doing that the last turn. But
oh, last turn?
Well, it's kind of like diving back, getting ready on the bed. But
yeah.
Maybe it's too many in one turn.
Now it's probably when you're doing it. So right. So let me ask you, what's going to happen when that door opens?
I think she'll fire. Aim for the head.
Okay. The door opens. It doesn't open a lot. It opens just a crack. As you see a hand toss a flashbang grenade.
Oh!
Can she fire into the room? Can she
you
have
fire,
a reaction?
You want to fire anyway, roll your D100.
Anyway. That's a 32.
If you had not been ready, you would not have made it. Roll a D10, please.
Oh, yes.
Oh.
That's a heavy 5. Pistol.
Okay. Blam, blam, blam! You put 3 into the door. You hear, gah! From the other side, but not before the flashbang makes it into the room.
Jeez.
It is going to fall right there. It is actually pretty damn close to you, Alonso. But it's not going to make... It's not going to be any worse. But there's definitely a moment of, you know, a Dorner probably calls out, like, grenade! You know? but it is just a flashbang grenade. So let me... This is one of those things where it's like I wish I was better at doing things and I knew more about Delta Green.
Can also help if you need.
You want to look at flashbang?
Flashbang.
What that does? Is that?
Yeah, just basically what it does. Because I'm pretty sure I'm hoping that what I'm reading is not when I flashbang. Victim's penalty last 1d6 turns. It's a negative 40 to all rolls? That can't be. That is fucking wild.
I don't see flashbang in the agent's got book.
That is a lot. I will say, like, because you can see it coming, you can call it out. Both of you make me a D100 roll, please.
I get a 51.
Okay.
Also,
I got a 42.
Also a con roll to avoid being stunned as well.
Oh, yes. Everyone roll a con roll.
Hold on.
I'm sorry, roll a D100.
54.
Another D100?
Oh, wait, no. You guys rolled your D100. That was your con roll. Okay. You both passed your con roll. This, blam! Huge light, huge sound. Both of you are able to get your hands over ears or whatever, or just man mode through it. It is back up to you, Alonso. What are you doing?
Okay. It's on page 90. I found it. It's under stun grenade, page 96. Okay. The handler's got. So I was able to protect myself from it or as much as
yes.
I could.
Yes, you passed your roll.
Fucking this guy's out. I'm gonna. Can I do fucking Kill Bill style? Can I grab the knife and try to slash this guy's Achilles heel if he walks through like I'm on the ground?
Yeah. Yeah,
so
you can.
Badass.
You pick up this knife and you look at it, and this is this weird knife that Dorner had. And you look at it and you see that down one side of it are, again, etchings. You don't really have the moment to take them in, but you get uncomfortable looking at them. Like there's your stomach turns as you look at them.
Is this guy trying to come in after the flashbang and I can maybe get like a stealthy...
Dorner, what are you doing?
That was Dorner doing? I'm sorry.
What's Dorner doing to prep?
She's still there, so I take it she managed to avoid blast, but she's probably a bit disoriented. She'll just take some more weapon back up, get ready on the door, maybe, I guess. I think she'll she'll actually wait and prep for the next one.
Dorner, as you go down the flashbang, boom, you know, but you back up, you know, ears ringing, wee, you know, and just as you come back and maybe you put you're like down with your hands like on the bed to steady you, the door opens and we see this guy coming through, weapon up and hand pushing open the door as he comes through, and he's coming straight forward at you. And this is where both of you are going to get your opportunity to make your attacks. So both of you roll D100.
Okay.
Tell me what you get, please.
I get a 1.
17.
Oh, okay. All right. I like it when things go well for you guys. I am always rooting
This is like the most proficient I've felt in a combat in Delta Green.
Especially after just being drugged and waking up.
Roll a d6 for the knife, Brad. For Alonso. Okay.
5.
Fucking hell. Okay, you take a slice. This guy's wearing a hazmat suit with boots that go down. And you take a slice out of these like heavy boots. Like you like stab out his ankle. He's like coming almost right past you. You're on the floor. You take a swipe. And the Achilles goes out. But as it does, you see that blood comes out, but as you pull away, it's like the blood is being leached out of the wound by the knife.
Oh my God.
It is being like, it's like as you pull it away, it's not like the blood is sticking to it. It's like it's being
it's like gripping with it.
Oh my God.
Almost.
That's cool.
It is, roll sanity check, a D100, please.
What the fuck?
What happens when you use someone else's knife? Without their permission.
What happens to you? Someone else's knife.
That is a 7.
A 7. You're going to take 1 sanity damage. Don't worry about where your sanity is right now. Don't worry about it.
maybe my dude's thinking like it's an effect from the flashbang or something.
Right. Like, you know, like I'm just all over the place. Dorner, roll me a D10. You scored a critical success. So we're going to double your damage.
That's a 4. That comes up to 8. Murdery. So murdery.
So again, this weapon has a silencer on it, so it's not like blam blam blam, but it's like, and again, silencers don't make it be like pew pew pew. That's not
pretty fucking,
you know, it's not sound like, but it's like she's still like gack, gack, gack.
Yeah.
And the 3 rounds go out, and there's this like there's a particular movie moment I'm trying to think of. I can't remember what it is. It's like he's coming forward, the pistol is up and in control, and there's just the smallest of movement, just like as he gets hit, he's just like just do, 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 and he just like his shoulders go back and he's going forward, but the whole body is falling as he's going forward, but the pistol is out towards you the entire time as his body is faltering as he goes down, and he falls in a clump at the bed.
Dead, Cole.
Fucking dead as it gets.
Dude, that was an intense battle. That was an intense battle.
That's the best thing
there
was done.
A lot of moving parts. Holy shit. I felt cool as a lot of because I
so about the time you just have enough room to feel cool, you also have the room enough to feel the bullet wounds.
Yeah.
That you have.
I like slowly get up and then like wincing and kind of check myself.
D4 as well, please. For Alonso.
4.
Okay. you get up, but it's not just the wounds. You look at this weapon, this knife, and the blood is like soaking into it. right, and like disappearing into the steel, and you feel part of yourself drawn into the knife.
Oh.
Like you feel your own willpower being.
When you said it, bleached,
to drain. Yeah.
I've pictured it almost like it was like the blood was like in zero gravity. It was just like
exactly type thing. Like yeah. It's like there's a brief moment where the knife is too far away from the wound and the blood is like coming out into the weapon.
And on the opposite,
you guys are like, Alonzo like throws it down like almost like it's like a you know something he like you know like you would a bug if it jumped on you just like throw it down the ground.
Yeah,
Dorner will see this. Will she recognize what's happening with that? Can she like? Dorner, does she understand?
Yeah, Lazo say, "Hell of a knife you got there."
Dorner, roll a d10 for Dorner, please.
It's a 5.
I'm sorry. What did I say? Roll.
You said
D10. I'm in a d100. Pardon me. A d100.
My bad. 16.
You know that the weapons that you brought. You again have this flashback of. Standing in a study that is locked away and hidden in a place where no one else can find it, a study where you have squirreled away unnatural artifacts from other operations you've been on, from your researches, and you remember picking up the knife, knowing that it's a devil's bargain, but knowing that you might need it in a moment of panic. As you slip it into your bag on your way to this mission.
Lazo will say, I'll trade you. And like hold his hand out for the gun.
Well, sure. Like, and you hand over the weapon to Alonso, and he just like he does that thing where he's like everything, he like checks the whole thing. And it's just like super fluid. Yeah.
Yeah.
And now he's got two of them.
Oh, I have two.
Now you have two. Yes.
Oh, she'll, well, then I'll give. I'll let her have. I didn't know I had two pistols. I'll
she'll obviously kind of take the knife.
Dorner have one.
I think she'll take the knife and be like, "Look, guns aren't my thing, but Jesse over there, I like to call her Blood Eater. Don't use it again. It's not great for you."
Well, and you have this moment where, again, it's roll me a power roll for Dorner.
84.
Failure. You feel there's something in you again, like it's trying to wake up. You don't know if it's the ketamine clearing or what. There's just something in you that's like, you think you know how to fix. Like there's something. It's like there's something you can do to help him, but you don't know what it is. It's like in the back of your memory. Like you wouldn't have brought this thing if you hadn't brought a way to deal with it, but you can't remember.
Okay.
It's just everything's too foggy. You know, and so you guys are standing here freshly, the smell of cordite still floating in the air. This guy is completely fucking beat to hell and knocked out, and the other one's dead. And this is the time where, you know, the door is now open, almost off the hinges. It's got about 6 bullet holes in it from a variety of
different
weapons
directions.
That's happened. Right, and there's that really, really specific, like, if you've ever smelled the smell of a flashbang, it doesn't smell like anything else, right? It's just like, it doesn't really smell like gunpowder. Like, it's got its own particular odor. It's like it's now permeating the whole room as you guys are standing here on your Miro board with the door open and now continuing as the things are beginning to clear up and you're looking out into, basically... the lobby.
Lobby.
You guys, if Jean, if you could please put a marker over here in room 2 for me. Something to show where you guys are.
Got it.
So this is a super small motel.
Yes, you guys, maybe one of you hazards a peek out into the hallway and you see that there is a very, very small, central hallway. In the motel, and that you guys are in this room 2. Let me get it up here so the these guys can see it.
That was a very small room to have all that action happen.
Yes, it was a lot to happen in an extremely small space.
Jeez. That was fun combat.
Yeah.
Obviously because I rolled so well.
Because it went well.
But
yes, so the dead
So I actually felt like a special agent.
Now, the dead body is now like at the foot of the bed. Melton is over to one side. The doctor is dead on the bed itself.
Then there's the guy who's sleeping.
Yes, he's just having a little nap. You can do with him as you see fit. If you go to search him,
I will. I'll search him in at the same time. See if there's any duct tape in the room or something like that where I can duct tape his hand and ankles together.
Probably a good call. I believe he is going to have with him... No, he does not have anything like that. You see that each of them has on their body... has each of them... There's one flashbang remaining. Each of them has like a throat mic... You think they could talk to each other quietly? Mm. Each of them has a knife, you know, like in the back of their like hazmat suit. One of them has a set of keys, and you know that you can again. You can probably get like the phone cord or something in this room and tie up his hand. You can restrain him. He is so fucked up. You think that when he wakes up, you think he might have a really massive concussion, like you have. Fucked this guy.
Oh, he's not dead. Okay.
He's not. Yeah. Well, the unconscious guy. The unconscious guy is. He's messed up. He's not doing well.
Alonzo will hold up and jangle the keys at Dorner and be like, housekeeping.
And that is probably a good place for us to go ahead and stop for this one. Guys. How you feeling so far?
That was great.
That was fun. I like it. It's interesting having a game start without meeting a handler. Like it's just, you know, like the you're just reading like the notes of what your mission's supposed to be.
Right.
Yeah. The pacing's great.
Well, again, this is I would be remiss if I didn't mention again the who gave this to us. Give me one moment. Let me pull him back up. Because I keep misplacing my things. This is Operation Unearthed by AD West. I'm going to get the links and stuff to AD West's sites and, you know, in the Google Docs for in the PDFs for this operation. So unless I'm mistaken, I believe this was originally submitted to a Delta Green operation competition. And I think this got either placed or got an honorable mention in one of those competitions. I can't recall now. He had told me about it when we were discussing this before. Cool. But yeah, so this is I love this again. Thoughts and prayers to Dace wherever he is and whatever he is doing right now. But the opportunity to do something like this, like kind of snappy, kind of quick.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and we're going to continue very cool. Here in a little bit, right?
And we're going to continue. Yeah, if you are joining us live, stay tuned. We will be back, and we are going to do a little bit more of this and see how much further. I don't know if we're going to finish. I think this might be a two recording session, which might turns into three to four, episodes, kind of thing. But I'm down for it, no matter what. I'm glad you guys.
We got to keep Milton alive, so. Dace has a character to hop into.
Yes.
Low key.
He just took a to the ear while he was napping, though. So it's going to be a little bit like messed up when he wakes up.
Right. He's gonna wake up and just like, why am I bleeding from both ears? Right.
That's great.
Here's the thing. By the way, you guys did just find a new NPC that he could possibly jump into.
Yeah.
True.
You did just create a new situation.
So you have options, Joe. We're giving you options.
We have options. You know, like you guys are doing all the heavy lifting here. Yeah. All right. We are going to take a break, and then we will be right back here in just a bit. If you are joining us live, if you are joining us later, thank you so much for joining us as always. Consider our Patreon. Get everything a week early. Get the Sandy checks where we talk about... We get a more in-depth look about Dace's medical condition and, you know, and how that's affected him. He likes talking about it more than you'd think. so, yeah. But, yeah. Guys, thank you thank you guys for being here and having thank regular you, size genitalia that doesn't require surgical intervention.
In case you went, in case you were being too subtle, I guess.
And we will catch you guys next time. Stay safe. Stay sane.